Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubos Daf Kuf Hei, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Dalad Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud, the new Perek. Says the Mishnah, Shnei Dayonim Gzeiros Hayu B'Yerushalayim. There were two Dayonim, two judges of Gzeiros. The Gemara will explain what this means in Yerushalayim. Admon V'Chanan Ben Avishalom. Admon and Chanan Ben Avishalom. And Tosfos takes this opportunity to mention that the proper way to pronounce this person's name was Avishalom, not Avshalom. Because Tosfos says we know that we have a klal, we have a rule, V'shem Rishoyim Yirkov, we don't use the name of Rishoyim. We know that Avshalom was a Rasha, based on the way he acted towards his father, David HaMelech, and therefore it can't be that there was anyone named Avshalom. And the proper name must have been Avishalom. However, Tosfos goes on to say, and other Rishonim say the same, that this concept that we do not call someone by the name of a Rasha is only in a situation where we only find this name used for a Rasha, like Avshalom. However, for example, the name Menashe. We know Menashe was a terrible Rasha. However, Menashe the Melech, who was the Rasha, is not the only Menashe that we find in Tanakh. We find other Menashes who were tzaddikim, Menashe ben Yosef, or similarly the name Shaul, where Shaul, the Medrash says Shaul ben Kananus was really Zimri ben Tzalo, but Shaul was also Shaul HaMelech, the great tzaddik and king, where name is used both for good people and not good people, that name may be continued to be given as a name in future generations. Pnei Shua makes an interesting observation. He says, if not for what Tosfos says, he would make the following distinction. He says, sometimes a name of a Rasha, the name itself represents that he was a Rasha. For example, the Pnei Shua says the name Doeg. Doeg, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doeg. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was worrying that he wasn't acting appropriately. What will be with him? That name should not be a name given to a Jewish person. On the other hand, says the Pnei Yeshua, a name that even it was a name of a Rasha, but the name itself does not imply any rishis, like the name of Shalom, perhaps may be used. The Mishnah says, Shnei Dayonim Gzeiros Hayu B'Yerushalayim, Admon V'Chanan Ben Avishalom. Chanan Omer Shnei Dvarim. Chanan said two rules which the Chacham argued. Admon Omer Shiva, and Admon said seven rules which the Chacham argued against. The first of Chanan's rule, Misha Holoch L'Medinas Yoyim, if somebody goes overseas, V'Ishta Tovas Mezoinis, and while he's gone, his wife requests support. Chanan Omer says, Chanan, Tishba Besoif, she swears at the end, when we find out that her husband dies, and she comes to collect the ksuba, that's when she has to swear. And when she's going to swear then for the ksuba, she will also use that opportunity to swear that the support that she received legitimately, that she didn't take any money she wasn't supposed to, that her husband had not left over money for her support. That's how Rashi explains. The Rambam explains that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where the husband eventually shows up. And when the Mishnah is saying is that when the husband comes and says to her, why did you take Mezoinus for my assets, didn't I leave you already over money for Mezoinus? That's when she has to swear. However, for Leitizhva Betchila, when she comes to request the Mezoinus, she does not have to swear. And Nechlokoa b'nei Kohanim ha'gedoylim v'amru Tizhva Betchila u'besoif, that she swears both at the end that we just described, but she also has to swear at the beginning, when she wants to begin collecting mezoinus, she also has to swear. Amr Abdoisi ben Hyrkonos Kedvareim. Abdoisi ben Hyrkonos agreed with the B'nai Kohanim Gedolim. However, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Yofa Amar Chanan, Chanan is correct, and like Tishbe El B'Soif, she only swears at the end when she collects the ksuba. And Rabbi Kivega quotes Amarit, who asks, yes, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai wants to tell us that he agrees with the opinion of Chanan. But why does he have to repeat Chanan's opinion, the Loitishba El B'Soif? The Mishnah was very clear in teaching us what Chanan holds. So answers the Marit, that what will be the halacha if there's a situation that she won't swear L'B'Soif? For whatever the circumstances are, that B'Soif she wouldn't have to swear. What will be the halacha then? For example, the Marit gives, let's say the husband explicitly absolved her from having to swear when she collects the ksuba. What will be the opinion of Chanan then? Does she have to swear when she comes to collect mezainis? Or even though she's not going to swear b'soif, Chanan still absolves her from swearing b'tchila. Says the Marit, that's why Rabbi Yochanan repeated Chanan's opinion, to teach us, like Tishba El B'Soif, she only swears at the end. Never, under any circumstances, does Chanan require her to swear at the beginning. And as Mefarshim explained the opinion, because the woman's rights to receiving mezainis are very strong, and therefore she does not need to make a shvur to receive those mezainis. So the Mishnah began saying that there were two judges, Admon and Chanan ben Avshalom. As the Gemara of Raminu, the Brisa says, Shalosh Dayan Gzeres HaYerushalayim, there were three, Admon ben Gedoy, V'Chanan HaMitzri, V'Chanan ben Avshalom. So there are two questions. Kasha Tlas HaTrein, our Mishnah only mentions two people, the Brisa mentions three. And furthermore, Kasha Gzeres HaGzeles, our Mishnah calls him Dayan Gzeres, and the Brisa calls him Dayana Exelos. So ask Tosfos, why couldn't the Gemara give a simple answer? That there were two different positions. There was the position of Dayana Exelos, which is what our Mishnah is referring to, which had two individuals in that position. And there was the position of Dayana Exelos, which the Brice is referring to, which had three individuals, and happens to be that two of the three individuals who were Dayanei Gzeilos also happened to be Dayanei Gzeilos of our Mishnah. And that would answer all of the questions of the Gemara. So why didn't the Gemara give that obvious answer, asked Tosfos? Answers Tosfos that in Yerushalayim, this is what the Mefarshim explained Tosfos' opinion, in Yerushalayim there were many great Talmid Chachamim, as we will soon see in the Gemara. And therefore, it's difficult to say that the same person had to hold two positions, both being a Dayan Exelos and a Dayan Exeros. And that's why the Gemara did not give that teretz. And as the Sharm Tzionim Balocha explains, every position, if we're saying that these are different positions, requires people who are experts in that field. If we're saying that Gzelos and Gzeros are not the same, so one is an expert in Gzeros and one is an expert in Gzelos, and therefore it's difficult to say that the same person had both positions. The Sefer Chassidim says that in general one should try to, if there are many positions available, not to give one person many positions, but rather to give everybody an opportunity to have different, also to have a position. And therefore the Gemara did not want to give a teretz that the same person held two jobs. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Tlas Atrein like Kwasha. The question that our Mishnah mentions that there were two individuals. The Brisa says that there were three individuals can be answered. The Choshev like Tani, the Loi Choshev like Tani. People who are more important were mentioned by the Mishnah, and those are the two in the Mishnah. The three in the Brisa, because the Brisa mentions everyone, even the not such important people. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos doesn't agree with that explanation, because Taisu says that obviously Chanan HaMitzri was more important than Chanan ben Avshalom, because in the Braisa that we just quoted, Chanan HaMitzri name appears before Chanan ben Avshalom. So how can we explain that our Mishnah is only listing the important ones when our Mishnah lists Chanan ben Avshalom and it doesn't list Chanan HaMitzri? Therefore, Taisu says the way to understand the Gemara's Teretz is that Chanan, our Mishnah only mentions the people who actually issued rulings that are relevant to the subjects that we're going to be discussing. And we're going to find that Chanan ben Avshalom said rulings that were relevant to what we're learning about, as did Chanan, and as did Admon. However, Chanan HaMitzri did not, and that's why our Mishnah doesn't mention him. Taisus, however, says that this, that we assume that Chanan HaMitzri is more important than Chanan ben Avshalom by the fact that the Braisa mentions him first, should not really necessarily be conclusive. Because Taisus says it could well be that Chanan ben Avshalom was more important than Chanan HaMitzri. And the reason the Braisa mentions Chanan HaMitzri first, because Chanan HaMitzri was a bigger meyuchas. He had a great yichas, and therefore the Braisa mentions him first. And Taisus says, we find this concept in halacha that sometimes a person, even if he's not as important as another person, is mentioned first because he's a bigger meyuchas. He says we find it in the Haggadah. In the Haggadah we say Masa, B'nei Barak, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. So he says that certainly Rabbi Akiva was a greater person than Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a greater meyuchas, and that's why the Haggadah mentions his name before it mentions the name of Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara, Al-Gzeiros Agzeiros Kasha. Our Mishnah calls it Gzeiros. The Braisa calls it Gzeiros. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Shoyu Goyzrin Gzeiros Agzeiros. They used to make decrees to prevent Gzeila. Kiritanya, Kitmanatiya. If an animal ripped out someone else's young tree, that's how most Rishonim learn. Other Rishonim explain Kitman Atiyah meaning that a person ripped out someone else's young tree. If it's in its first year, shtei kesef, the mazik, the person that ripped out the tree, has to pay two more. If it's 2 years old, arba kesef. And as the Mefarshim explained, typically what we ought to do is assess the value of the tree, and that's what should be paid. However, because these rabbonim wanted to avoid gzela, wanted to avoid that people should do damage to other people's property, they set a fixed price. No matter what, when, or where, this is how much should be paid for a tree that's 1 year old, this should be traded for a tree that's 2 years old. As Mefarshim going on to explain, there's an element of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael here, where they wanted Eretz Yisrael to be planted with trees, and if somebody destroyed someone else's tree, he should have to pay a fixed fine. That was what the Goyzrei Gzeirois Agzeilois did. Vermini asked the Gemara, our Braisa mentioned three Dayonim. Who are these Goyzrei Gzeirois? But there's another Braisa that says, Shlosh Dayonim Gzeirois Abishlaim, Admon V'chonon V'nochem. So this Braisa includes Nochem, who isn't in the Mishnah, nor in the Braisa that we learned previously. Answers the Gemara, Amar Papa, Man Tana Nochem. Who's the Man Tana that says, Nochem is one of these Dayonim? Reb Nosson he. The Tanya Reb Nosson Aymer, Af Nochem Amadoi, Begoyzei Gzeir Shabishalayim Haya. Nochem Amadoi was also in this group. V'loi Haiduloi, Chacham and Chacham don't agree with Reb Nosson that Nochem Amadoi should be in this group. Ask the Gemara V'su Leka, were there no other Dayonim? V'amra Pinchas, Amar Reb Oishia, Shloish Meis V'tishin, V'abba Bati Dinam Abishalayim. There were 394 but they deem them in Yerushalayim, connect them by the Knesios, there were a corresponding number of shuls, connect them by the Midrashas, there were a corresponding number by the Midrashim, connect them by the Seferim, and there were a corresponding number of day schools. So we see that there were so many more Dayanim, not just this, the two, three, four people that were mentioning. Answers the Gemara, Dayanim tuva hava. There were in fact many dayonim. However, the ki kamrinan and geizer gzeiris kamrinan. Geizer gzeiris, there were just this select group. And the Shar Metzion Balacha goes on to explain why did they need to have so many different, so many dayonim in Yerushalayim and so many shuls and so many bati medrash. So he says Yerushalayim was a place of kibbutz goliath. Jews from all over the world congregated in Yerushalayim. And every community had its own menhagim. And every community wanted to retain its identity. And that's why they had their own shuls and their own batei medrash, their own schools and their own what they did. Rav Shul Leib Diskin used this gemara to speak to his family. His family once came to him and said that he's so busy, so many people come to him with shilas, and he never turns anyone away from answering a shila. Even though they said to him that in Yerushalayim, where he was the Rav, there were many Talmidei Chachamim, Dayonim, who could answer the shilas. Why did he feel the need, they asked him, that he should answer every shila brought to him? So he says that the Gemara says in Masechta Smachos that Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, we know from the Tefillah on Yom Kippur on Tisha B'Av, was one of the Asara Harugei Malchus, was one of the 10 people that died that terrible death. And the Gemara explains why did Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol receive this punishment, because he wasn't always available to answer shilas people asked of him. Says Rabbi Shmuel Leib, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol lived in Yerushalayim. Our Gemara just taught us that in Yerushalayim there were so many dayonim, so many rabbonim. So what's the issue that Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol didn't answer the shayla? There were plenty of other people that were available to answer the shayla. From here we see, said Rabbi Shmuel Leib, that if one is approached with a shayla, he has an obligation to answer the shayla and not send the shayla to someone else if he's able to answer himself. And that's why Rabbi Shmuel Leib said, I too act accordingly and always try to answer the shaylas that are brought to me and do not send them elsewhere. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Rav Asi, Geizer Gzeiris Rabbi Yerushalayim, Hainotan Scharim, 99 mana Metrumas Alishka. They would take their wages, 99 mana from the Machzis HaShekel. So as the Mefarshim explained, we learned the Gemara Masech Tishkolim that every year, every body had to contribute a Machzis HaShekel in Adar, because starting with Chodesh Nissan, those coins were used to buy Karbonis. Left over, if there were coins left over, they were called Meiser Trumas Alishka, which we'll discuss more in tomorrow's Shir in Mitzvah Shem. And there's a Machlokes how to understand this. Some say that the leftover money was used for the wages of these Geizei Gzeiris. Others say that it was the actual money, the Machzis HaShekel itself was used to pay these wages. And the Mefarshim explained why were these monies used to pay the wages. Some explain quite simply, this was communal money, and communal needs are that there should be Geizei Gzeiris, and that's why the wages of the Geizei Gzeiris came from this communal fund. Chazanish explains that Karbonos may only be brought from animals that were not stolen. The point and the purpose of the Geizer Gzeiris, as we just learned, was to prevent any Gzeila in Klal Yisrael. So their job was very connected to the Beis HaMikdash, because they were the ones that made sure that the Karbonos that were brought were valid Karbonos and were not Karbonos that were brought Chas V'Shalom to Gzeila. Loi Rotsu, if they weren't satisfied with the salary, they would increase their salary. Ask the Gemara, Loi Rotsu, are these the type of people that is going to start being dissatisfied with the salary? Are we talking about Rishoyim that are picky about their salary? Answers the Gemara, Eloi Sopku, if their salary did not meet their needs, Abish Loi Rotsu, even if they didn't want to take an increase in salary, Masifin Aleihem, they would give them an increase. Farshim say, why was the salary not enough? Either because there were times that there was inflation and the cost of living went up, or others, as the Chasam Sofer explains, sometimes a person's family, Baruch Hashem, grows, he has more children and he has more needs. And the Chasam Sofer, in fact, says, based on this Gemara, we see that if someone's family grows, his employer should see to it that his salary should be increased to be able to cover his additional expenses. Says the Gemara, Karna v'shokal astira mzakoi v'astira mechayiv. Karna, who was a dayan, would, when he would pass in a din taira, would take a coin from each party, and then don ladina and then pass in a din taira. Ask the Gemara v'eichi avi hachi, how did Karna act this way v'ksiv v'shoichet loisikach? You're not allowed to take bribe. Says the Gemara, "V'chite mehani mili heichad lo shakel metarvayu." When is a bribe prohibited? When he's not taking from both parties? Because dima asalat sluye dina. If he only takes from one side, he could come to pervert justice. However, karna kivin the shakel metarvayu, karna that he's given, that he's given, that he's taking from both parties, lo asalat sluye dina, he's going to keep the ruling honest. Says the Gemara, the chilei asulat sluya dina mishari, and even if he's going to keep it honest, is it permitted to do this? For Tanya, the shaykh leisikach, the pasuk says you're not allowed to take a bribe. Ma tamal loymer. Ask the Gemara, what is the pasuk referring to? Im lalamet shloy liskus as a chayiv, v'shloy lachayiv as a zakai, that a dayon is not allowed to make the guilty party innocent and the innocent party guilty. Harek fanama. That we certainly know is prohibited, because the pasuk says loisata mishpat, we're not allowed to pervert any judgment. Elo, from here we see lezakis as a zakai, lechayev as a chayev. We're not allowed to take money from both sides, even if the innocent party will be declared innocent and the guilty party will be declared guilty. Still, amr tayra shaychad loisikach. So ask the mefarshim, if the dayan is taking from both parties, why is that called shaychet? He's being very open and taking the same amount from both parties. So some of Farshim explain, the reason the Torah says you shouldn't take from both parties, because there's a concern that if you take from both parties, there may come a time that you're only going to take from one party. The Drisha gives a different explanation. I think the Meiri gives a very similar explanation. They explain that if a judge is taking money, even if he's taking it only from one of the two parties, what will happen is that when he comes to Paskin the Shaila, it's not just that he's referring and reflecting on what the din is. There's another factor influencing his decision, and that is the fee, the salary that he received. When a judge is not only focused on the din Torah, but he's also focused on his salary that he received from the two sides, that is considered shaychet. So as Taisus, we just learned in the previous piece of Gemara that the dayanim in Yerushalayim, the guys of Xeris in Yerushalayim, received their salary from the Trumas Alishka. How were they allowed to receive salary? So Taisus says that they weren't dayanim. Our Gemara here is referring to dayanim. Furthermore, says Taisus, since this was a full-time position of theirs, they were receiving salary, and they weren't receiving salary from the two litigants that were in front of them for a din Torah. They were receiving salary from the community. The community has certain positions that have to be filled. One of those positions, some of those positions in those times was Gozer Xeris, and the community paid the wages of people who had received those salaries. Answers the Gemara, Hani Mili, when may a dayan not receive a salary? Hechad is shakal b'tar shaychet. If he's getting it as shaychet, Karna b'taris agra havishakel. He was receiving it as a fee. Ask the Gemara, or b'taris agra mishari, and to receive it as a fee, is it permitted? V'atanan hanoytel schar lodon dina b'talim, that if somebody takes wages to paskin a din Torah, the din Torah is void. And the basis for this is because Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, Rei lamadati eschem, chukim u'mishpatim kasher tzivanu Hashem Elokai. And the Gemara Masechta Brach B'chayris Masechta Nedarim explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael, I taught you Torah and I judge you in Torah kasher tzivanu Hashem Elokai, the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly didn't take any wages from us, so too wages may not be taken by a dayan. Answers the Gemara, Hani Mili Agadina, if a dayan takes salary money for deciding the halacha, then the halacha is dina b'teilim. Kana ag b'teil avashakel. He just took money because that time he could have been working, and he didn't work in that time, so he took wages for schar b'teila, for the wages that he lost while he could have been working. The Gemara will explain in a moment what he did, typically. And in fact, the Rishonim say that dina b'teilim, a judge who takes money when he's not supposed to, the din is bottle. And in fact, Rishonim say that, let's say we're not sure if he took or not. If this person has a record that he takes money to paskin din Torah when he's not supposed to, any case that we have this question about, dina b'teilim is automatically disqualified. Ask the Gemara, for ag b'teilim ishari, is it permitted to take compensation for not working in that time? It's terrible, it's ugly if a dayan takes payment to judge. But still, the din Torah is accepted. There's a question. Hey chidami, ilayme agadina, that he's taking salary for pasking the din Torah. Dinoy din. Is it considered valid? For Tanya, didn't we just quote a brisa that said, Hanoit l'schar lodun dina b'teilim, the halachas avoid? And in fact, the Ramah says, a dayan or an aide are not allowed to take salary. And an aide, so how can an aide, there are aidim who do this for a living, there are aidim and batei dinim, for gittin, for other situations, how could they get a salary? Says the Ramah, when the Gemara says here that you're not allowed, that aid is not allowed to get a salary, it refers that if someone knows testimony and he's subpoenaed to say testimony and he says, I'm only going to come if I get paid, that's unacceptable. But if someone up front is asked, come please say testimony, I want you to be in this place that you should be able to serve as an aid, that then he is allowed to receive salary. Ella, it must be that this price is referring to Ag B'Teila. And still it says Mechur Adayin, that's despicable. So how could Karna taken a salary? Answers the Gemara, Hani Mil B'Teila D'Loi Mechur. If it's not obvious that a person is losing wages by paskening a dentira, by taking away from his time to pasken a dentira, then it's despicable. Karna betel the mukha havishakel. But Karna had a job. Everybody was well aware of his job that we're going to see in a moment. And therefore, it was understandable that it's schar betela. What was Karna's job? Davatar ba'abra de mechamra. He would smell wine. They would make a small hole in the wine barrel, and he would smell if the wine was spoiled or not. And for that, he would receive payment for service. And that's why he's entitled to schar betela. If he doesn't, he has to go to the entire. As we find by Rav Huna, Kyod Rav Huna, Kyav Adar Sadin al Kamei, if a dentari would come to him, Amalu, Havli Gavri the Dolly Bechirkoi, ask somebody else should draw water in my place. He was a farmer who would water his fields, Vaidin al Khadina, so I should be able to sit down at the dentari. Again, the same concept of Schabat Taylor that he was taken away from his job of being a farmer. Amr Bavua, Bar A, Kamasmuyas Enam Shakabal Shaykhit. Let's see how terrible what bribery does. Adam chosh beinof, if a person has pain in his eye, nice mamal raifa, he goes to the doctor, and the doctor to heal him, sofik misrapa, sofik ena misrapa. And there's a question if the doctor will be successful. And in fact, some mefarshim attempt to bring a proof from this Gemara. There's an ongoing debate. Avni Nezer has a long tshuva about this. The Ramban discusses this. If one is allowed to go to a doctor where it's not for certain that the doctor will be successful in healing him. Here our Gemara clearly says that people go to doctors even though it's not certain that they could be successful. V'hein, here a dayin noitun shava pruta takes a pruta umasam enayim and it causes them to become blind. Shenemar kashoichet yavapichim. This bribery causes people to become blind. The Mefarshim point out, is our Gemara saying that the Isser of Shoichet is only by Pruta? Because here our Gemara says that he noitlin shava Pruta. The Eish Lavram says that certainly Shoichet is even by less by then Shavapruta, but he explains that there are two types of Shoichet. The Shoichet Mammon. Shoichet Mammon has to have a Shavapruta, but as we're going to learn on Amud Beis, there are other types of Shoichet which don't depend on Shavapruta. In fact, some of us may saw that say that Shoichet of less than a Pruta is more of a severe Aveira than Shoichet of a Pruta. Because a Shoichet of a Pruta, the dying could return. A Pruta is something that's returnable. But shoichet that's less than a pruta is not something that's returnable and may even be a bigger aveira. Tan rabbanan, ka shoichet yaver eina chachamim, ka v'chaim lo tipshim. Somebody who's a chamchum gets adversely affected by shoichet, certainly if somebody's a fool. V'sala divrei tzadikim, somebody who's a tzadik's words get distorted by shoichet, ka v'chaim lo rishon. Midi tipshim rishon bidinehu. Ask the Gemara, are Rishayim and Tipshim, the members of Bezdin, that they get affected by Shoichet? Elach Kamer. So the Gemara, this is the way to understand. Even if we begin with a person who's a great Chacham, but if Chas V'Shalom takes Shoichet, and in Niftim and Oilam B'Lay Simiyus Alev, he will not leave the world without suffering blindness of the heart. V'Salif Divrei Tzadikim, similarly, a filut tzaddik gomer. Even if you have a person who's a great tzaddik, for like keiach shoychet, and chas v'shalom he takes shoychet, ein a niftim in a olam, v'loy tirf adas. He will not leave the world without confusion of the mind. And the Mefarshim explained what is these two different concepts of smiyus halev and tirf adas. Smiyus halev, he says, say the Mefarshim, refer to a person's knowledge. The person has amassed a certain amount of knowledge, he's a Talmud Chacham. Shoichet causes that he should forget the Torah that he learned. Tirf Hadas doesn't refer specifically to knowledge. What Tirf Hadas refers to is that he loses his ability to reason and understand properly because he took Shoichet. And the Chazon Ish says that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with certain laws of nature, the sun goes up, the sun goes down, different firm laws of nature, he says the way we're supposed to look at this Gemara is the same way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the nature of the world that a dayin who takes Shoichet Rechman Tzlon will become Shoichet Yaveh Enech HaChomim V'Salaf Devei Tzadikim. Says the Gemara, Ki'osar of Dimi Omar, Dorosh of Nachman Bar Koyin. Ma'idik Siv, the Pasuk says, Melech B'Mishpat Yamat Oretz. The Pasuk says in Mishle that a king with judgment upholds the world. Like we know, it says, Al Shlosh Dvar Ma'olam Oymed Al Din Val Emes Val Shalom. Din is one of the things that uphold the world. Vish Trumais Yehar Sena. In Doimed Dain LaMelech, the dying should be like a king, shenet tzarech l'klum, that it doesn't require anything, that he's self-sufficient. That's the dying that yamed eretz. V'm doim l'koyin shemachs al-gronis, but if it's like a koyin that goes from place to place to have to collect, He's not independently wealthy, and he relies on other people. Yaharsena, he destroys the world. The Dayan has to have this independence. And the Farshim go on to explain, not only does he have to have independence, financial independence, but he also has to have intellectual independence, that he can make his own decisions, and he doesn't, like a king, is independent, and he doesn't have to rely on other people to tell him what to do. Independence is a crucial characteristic that's required for a judge to have. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Bar Shela, Hai Dayin the Shol Shilta, a judge who has to borrow things, Pasul Lemaidin Dina, he is disqualified from being a Dayin. And again, because he relies on people, he loses that independence. The Loya Maran, however, says the Les Leila Shule, where he doesn't have anything to lend in return. Avalistal Shule, if he's a person that has what to lend, Les Lombard, then there's no problem because he borrows and he lends. There's a Machloikis Hapaiskim. What does the Gemara mean that he has to lend? Doesn't mean that he has the ability to lend, even though he doesn't actually lend. He's already a qualified judge. Or it's not just that it's a person that's qualified, that has the ability to lend, he actually lends, and therefore even though he borrows, he will be a qualified judge. Any, ask the Gemara, is this true? For Rav Shaul Shilti with the Bay Mamarian, we find that Rav borrowed things from the family Mamarian. Avgav Lashalmanai, even though they didn't borrow anything in return from him, answers the Gemara, Hosam Lachshuvahu Dubai. He wanted to make them feel important. They were family of orphans. And how did he make them feel important? The way he made them feel important was that he took things from them and that they were able to feel that the great Rav relied on them. Amarava, my tama, the shaykhta, why is bribery so terrible? Kivin the answers the Gemara, kivin the kabbalah shaktamine, once a person receives shaykhit, ikar vele data legabei, he becomes very close to the person who received shaykhit from, vavik gufei, and he and the litigant become the same. Then Adam Roy Chayvelatzmai, and just like a person can't see anything bad, saying wrong in himself, he can't see wrong in that person. Says the Ramai Shaychet, what is the definition of Shaychet? Shulchad, that he becomes one with the person that he received Shaychet from. The Mepharshim say the Sefer Ketzoinus Or explains. The Pasuk says, Loi Sikach Shaychet. So the last letters of the words Loi Sikach Shaychet are Aleph Ches Dalet Echod. But a person is supposed to be Loi Sikach Shaychet. He's not supposed to take Shaychet. Because if he's Sikach Shaychet, he becomes Ches Dalet. He loses being an Echod. He loses being an independent person. Rather, Chad, he becomes one and the same with the person who he took Shaychet from. Another Pshat that I saw from the Bach is as follows. We know that the Gemara says, Kodayin Shadon Din Emes Lamitoi, any judge that passes the entire properly, Nasa Shutuf LaKadosh Baruch Hu, becomes a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if a Dayan, Chas V'Sholem, takes Shaychat, he's certainly not a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Dayan that takes Shaychat is Chad, remains an individual, he's not a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Papa, Loyloiden Inish Dina Laman De Rochem Lei, a person should not judge someone who he likes, V'loy Laman De Son Lei, someone who he dislikes. The Rochem Lei, the person who he likes, Lechazi Lechayva, he will not see any wrong in him. The Son Lei, Lechazi Lechusa, he won't see anything good in him. So Taisus explains that our Gemara is not referring, he says the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin says that a person who has an enemy or a friend is not allowed to be an aid. And the Gemara goes on to describe what are those characteristics. So he says, our Gemara is not referring to such an individual. Our Gemara is referring to a person who just is friendly with someone, or not friendly with someone, he should not be the Dayan. And the Farshim go on to explain that even if the Dayan doesn't specifically like or dislike one of the litigants, but there's one of the litigants who feels very close to the Dayan, what will happen is that since this person feels close to me, I in turn feel close to him, and therefore that clouds my ability to judge properly, or vice versa. Amar Abaye, Hai Tzuvim Rabbonin, the Merachim Lai B'nai Masa, this Talmud Chacham, this Rav, that the people of the city like him, it's Lai Mishum De Malat Fei, not because he's such a wonderful person, El Mishum De Lai Muchach Lu B'Mila De Shmaya, it's because he doesn't give them Musar how to act properly. So this is a beautiful word that I saw. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, Hai Tzuvim Rabbonin, you know who is the Talmud Chacham that is loved by the people of his city? A person a Talmud Chacham that doesn't have to say Musar. Why does he not have to say Musar? Because his very actions, the way he acts and the way he talks and he walks and lives, causes the people in the city to want to emulate him and to respect him. That is the Rav that's going to be loved. I used to say, they all like me. Because, as the Rishonim explained, the people of Mechuza were very educated people, and they recognized that even if he was sometimes tough, it was for good reason. Once I became a Dayan, some of them began to not like me, some began to like me, based on the way I judged. But once they saw the man, even if I said somebody was guilty today, in the next case I might have said he was innocent, or vice versa, if they're going to like me, they're all going to like me, and as long as I am honest, that's all I have to do. Person, Dayan is not allowed to take bribery. He's certainly not allowed to take money. He's also not allowed to take a bribery of words. Middle like Sid, because the pasuk doesn't say betza leisikach, don't take money. The pasuk says shoicha leisikach, to mean even shoicha dvar. As the mefarshim say, we actually have a basis for this in the Torah. We find that the benos tzalofchad approach Moshe Rabbeinu. The Chafetz Chaim says this word, and they say to him that in describing their father, they said that he wasn't your enemy. As soon as they said that, Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to pass in their shayla. Why? Because there was already a situation here of Shaykh Advarim, and even this minimal Shaykh Advarim, as we're going to see further in the Gemara, disqualifies the judge. Says the Gemara, Hei Chidami Shaykh Advarim, what are examples Shaykh Advarim? Says the Gemara, Kahad Shmuel Av Ave B'Mabra. Shmuel was crossing a bridge. Asa Gavre Yav LeYadei. A man came and gave him a hand to help him. Amalei Mai V'Detech. What are you doing here? Amalei Dinesli. I have a Din Torah. Amalei P'sinu Chaladino. I can't pass in this Din Torah because I received this favor as minimal as it is. Similarly, Amei Mavik Yosef Kadon Dina. Parach Gatvei Reisha. Amei was sitting in Din Torah and a feather flew on his head. Also, Gavre Shakli, one of the people removed the feather. Amalei Mai V'Detech, what are you doing here? Amalei Dinesli, I'm here for Din Torah. Amalei P'sinuch L'Din, I can no longer be a Din Dayan for you. Marukva Abishada Ruk Kamei. Marukva was walking and there was some saliva in front of him. Also, a Gavre, Kasia, and the person came and covered that saliva. Amalei Mai V'Detech, what are you doing here? Amalei Dinesli, I'm here for Din Torah. So Amalei P'sinuch Ladina, I can't pass in the Din Torah for you anymore if you did this even minimal favor for me. Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel bar Yosi have a rogal arise that a meisel like kamalu shapsu counted the pay. Rav Shmuel bar Yosi had a sharecropper who every week would bring on Friday the fruit to Rav Shmuel bar Yosi. Yom chag isle becomes from Shabbos. One week he brought it on Thursday. Amalei Mashnai, why did you bring it on Thursday, not on the usual Friday? Amalei Dina Islay, I had it in Torah. Since I'm here anyway, I'm coming to town for the Din Torah to you, I'll bring you the fruit. Like Kablamine. So Shmuel refused to take it. Amalei Psinul Chaladina, I'm possible to be a dying. Oysev Zuzud Rabbanan, so he appointed a different peer of Rabbanan, the Kardainin Lay, and they to be the Dayonim. Behind the cause of Asi, as a Rishu was going back and forth, Amar, this person, the sharecropper, could have said this claim or this claim to support himself. Amr tipek nafshin shem kabli shaychet. Those who receive shaychet suffer agony. Omani shloy natalti. I didn't take. Vim natalti shloy natalti. I wouldn't take anything I didn't deserve. These were my fruit. Still, kach, I already became influenced on behalf of this individual. Makabli shaychet, alachas kam v'kamu, shouldn't be careful not to take shaychet. Farshim say, why was he walking? How did he have two dayonim? Why was he walking there? So some of Farshim said that these two dayonim were dayonim mumchim, and dayonim mumchim, we could have an even number of members of Beis Din. Another pshat is that what he did was, originally, he was going to paskin the din Torah by himself. Once he had this situation, he took two more dayonim to sit with him. But then he said, look at, I become so influenced, even though I didn't take anything, just because he wanted to give me fruit that were really mine. We know that the one of the matnas kuna is that the first wool that's cut belongs to the kohen. So there was this Rishma bar Aisha, a person brought him Reish Sagaz. He asked him, from where are you? I'm from this city. There was no other kohen to give that you brought to me. Amle dina isli, I have a din Torah, but mina agavrocha isli lamar, since I have a din Torah, I'm coming to you for din Torah, and you're a kohen, I'll give you the reishis agaz. Amle psinel chaladin, I'm disqualified. Lekavu minei, and he didn't take the reishis agaz. Ask the Gemara, osalei zagud rabbonin, says the Gemara, he took a pair of rabbonin, the kodanilei, and they judged. But how did the cause of Asi? As the Rishma Bar Elisha was walking back and forth, he said that this individual could have made the following claims. And again, he made the same statement. I didn't take Shaychet. Still, I'm entitled to this as a Makoyan. Kach, still, look how I was influenced. How terrible the influence of bribery is. Asked the Mefarshim, if he didn't judge the din Torah, so why didn't he take the reishis agaz? There's no problem. So I saw two answers. One is it's still maris ayin. It would look like he was taking it to paskin the din Torah, even though he didn't actually paskin the din Torah. Another teretz is as follows. This individual who came for the din Torah typically had a kohen that he always gave his matnas kuna to. Here he was trying to give it to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel felt that it was wrong for him to usurp this matnas kuna that should usually and always went to this other kohen, and he wanted that the person should give the matnas kuna to the kohen that he always gives the matnas kuna to.